In a quiet reverie, my left hand, in a quiet reverie, tracing a mortar circle on glass, my left hand grinds the blank, the black ink, while my right hand rests, fallen into a leopard's grace of waiting, composing itself for the shaping of an ideal form, glimpsed with a tantalous delight in the twilight of the mind's search and the heart's recognition, a shape fluid as water, strict as a crisp enunciation, uttered against all hazard out of the strong tradition of Sing Shu. The left hand dreams in its motion, the right hand rests in its stillness, the mind, composed and quiet with the turning motion and the motionless resting, meditates examples of excellence and dwells, though it shouldn't, on the hope that my old companion will extend his wry approval. He who in gorgeous robes, did I dream this, in a mountain setting, our serving men discreetly at a distance and the air still, once presented to me in deference some writing of his own and asked me for some of mine. Will my mind today grow quiet enough and strong enough in its concentrated ease to impel from the shoulder with swashbuckling force, in one lyrical sweep, the act of insolent grace, body and mind, that moves a mountain and makes a poem of these characters, springing like a shout from heart, eye, and hand, and the secret places that love springs from, and gathered into a great impetuous outburst of drunken largeness and biblical severity? And what, resting and revolving, shall I compose or frame in the mind's eye or out of the heart's crevices? Some well-turned and memorable compliment, an exercise in virtuosity, a royal turn of phrase, perhaps, touching beauty or the turning of the seasons, or the numb and inarticulate grief of time and the ancient hauntings of regret, or absence in some desolate place, or the tongue silenced by the dignity of the heart? Or shall I write of the terrible stone violence done to Hui Tsung, though his writing, slender gold, bears witness yet to the meticulous eloquence of his measured movement and speech, that tall imperial figure, slender as his brush strokes, a young man, learned and skillful? For time has also laid rough hands on Akhenaten and his beautiful queen, consigning the city of the sun to the lizard, the painted rushes and incised scarabs, and the silent mockery of stone hawks. But there must be a moment when my right hand, fully rested, must venture forth, sooner or later, time or no time. There must be, sooner or later, a moment when it has composed itself into imperial or bombastic certitude, and can say something momentous, something old, as wounding as an unbroken promise, say 10 characters, wind, rain, home, a foreign place. The thought of home is fire, a friend, a lover, wine is fire, the heart. Should I say this, declaring thereby that we grow old in the wind and rain, that home is a place we always leave, that we suffer alone, always, and come upon death alone, and tread down sorrow as best we can, so that the heart may flower and all desire in the end be chastened? No wonder the right hand rests like an idle leopard, and my old writing friend is quizzical. No wonder my left hand dreams and delays in its long circular reverie, as though the ink were stone and the water a black ice that refuses to flow. When the spirit of me Phi strides silently across the still landscape of my mind, pot-bellied yet sure-footed as an athlete under the towering weight of that high dome of his brow, his shirt flying open, throat to navel, enclosed in the splendor of his thought, I know that the whiskers on the nose of a short-legged pony, or the texture of rabbit fur or hawk feathers at a saddle bow, are imperishably true, that here, if nowhere else, there is a possible matching of the hand's perfection to the cunning duplicity of the eye.